Men Who Win, full of God's purpose, power, and life. Now, here's Gary Chester.
We're going way back in time now to before the Industrial Revolution. But before we do, I want to ask you, what do you think about more than anything else? Well, with the exception of sports and work. What do you think about and talk about most with your buds? Well, of course, women and sex, right? Did you know that before the Industrial Revolution, women generally were very honored and respected in the family farm enterprise? But the Industrial Revolution back in the 1800s radically turned the lives of men upside down, radically turned society upside down. Before the revolution, life was simpler, and it became more complex and confusing when men left the farms to go to work in the factories. Until this industrial age, most men were very close to their families. They worked and played side by side them. The average man modeled the moral standards for his kids as they together went about activities on the farm. The factory, however, was like a new planet. It was cold, it was competitive, and it was impersonal. It was dog eat dog. That's when we got into this dog eat dog mindset. Men never learned to adapt well to this new environment. And through the years, we've evolved from an attitude of personal sacrifice for the common good of the family and the community. We've evolved now into a harder edge mindset of self-absorption. Now, have we become more self-absorbed after the Industrial Revolution? Guess what? Many women found themselves stranded. They found themselves isolated, totally dependent on men. Laws back in those days favored men, didn't help a woman's lot in life. And women were left really with a very shabby deal. And they were very insecure and vulnerable. And as with any oppressed people, they didn't like it. And they started looking for ways out. Voila! Guess what? The women's movement was born.
They love their toys. They make their noise. They're nothing but a bunch of overgrown boys.
Ladies, now that was cold.
I'm talking about me.
Real cold.
If you give them what they want, they never fall in love. Don't give them nothing, they can't get enough.
They're talking about a stud muffin.
I'm talking about men. Well, you can't beat them up because they're bigger than you. You can't live with them and you just can't shoot
men. Talking about them.
Talking about men.
Since the 1960s, the women's movement has largely turned into one of contempt for men. You hear it in the shrill voices of the outspoken leaders of the women's movement. These leaders have most likely been individually hurt and traumatized by some males in their personal life. So, no one really ought to be surprised by the action stemming from these deep wounds that these women have suffered. I mean, what happens to any of us? What happens to any oppressed people who are not destroyed but manage to survive oppression? C.S. Lewis said it, they tend to retaliate against their former oppressors.
Men Who Win. To hear more, go to menwhowin.com.
The women's movement has seen much success in its goals for women's equality. Interestingly enough, however, the movement, you know, has backfired in one area. Contemporary women unwittingly have discouraged men from accepting family responsibilities because of their lax views on sex. Now, I'll tell you what, this next observation may get me into trouble, but this is fact. Many women really do not understand the sexual mindset of men. When a woman gives sex first and then wants commitment, she most likely won't get it. It's the have your cake and eat it too syndrome. Without restraints, it's always been that most men are prone to be able to have sex just for the enjoyment of it. Since the 1960s, women have even encouraged and conditioned men more than ever to experience sex as just a lustful act unto itself, an act devoid of any kind of caring and emotion, much less commitment. I mean, today, think about it, men no longer have to commit to women to get it. In fact, women lavish gratis sexual favors on us, even dress to entice men to desire only one thing from them. Now, why is it that contemporary women, so many of them, unnecessarily bring on such disrespect? I'm not really sure. I have an opinion, and this is just an opinion. I would not stake my life on this opinion. But it seems to me that so many contemporary women are seeing men as trophies and objects. A man who is successful or studly looking, seeing him as a trophy or object, just as many men have done this through the centuries to look at women as objects. Now, why would women suddenly be doing this? In my view, it's birthed out of sexual perversion that pervades the age. Now, men, you know, guys, we're pre-wired to be visually stimulated. We cannot help ourselves. It's like a bear that hibernates in the winter. He's pre-wired to do that. We've been pre-wired to be visually stimulated. Women, on the other hand, in my view, have convinced themselves that they enjoy sex without a relationship. They've kind of conned themselves. And I'm just wondering if this perversion is caused by us guys as we have become more morally numb and more self-indulgent. You know, Moses said women are pre-wired to want to please us. So if that's the cues, if those are the signals we're sending women, then that's what they're trying to do to please us. Well, as I said, that's just my opinion. However, I really do think that this is true. I will say that you, my radio friend, as well as women, come out losers by our wham, bam, thank you, ma'am mentality of today. Many men really don't recognize this losing proposition. Neither do so-called liberated women who think that the new freedom to enjoy sex for the sake of sex, as men so easily do, somehow elevates their status. I mean, what's the value of a smorgasbord of obligation-free sexual offerings when the end result is the breakdown of personal relationships, marriages, and families? You know, it's deep, abiding, and trusting relationships that give purpose and meaning and thus happiness to both sexes.
Men Who Win with Gary Chester. The world has become such a frightening place. So much anger and not enough love. Deep in the hearts of so many people, there's an emptiness that nothing of this world can fill. And that emptiness makes it impossible for us to be able to really love. The emptiness is so overwhelming. But Christ reminds us that He loves us and died for us. His love is real. And if you open your heart to it, He will fill that emptiness. And you will be able to truly love. That's the message. And it hasn't changed in 2,000 years. To hear more, go to menwhowin.com. Menwhowin.com.